Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Well, here in America, you know, we're a capitalist system, and other countries, socialist or communist, and the capitalist system is a merit system. So we're raised in a kind of a merit system. There are people today, and there's always been people that would look at wealthy people and think that, you know, something wrong with them. We got to take their money away, give it to everybody else. That's just based on the fact of their own inability and their own inadequacy, in my opinion. Because many people, not everybody, but many people start out with nothing and end up with a lot. Some of the great industrialists of the last century, like Andrew Carnegie, they started out with nothing. Then they lost everything one or two times and made it back. And they've endowed libraries and schools and things all over. I mean, they've done wonderful things with their money. So we're a merit-based society. We've been raised in a merit-based system. When we go to school, you take your test, and if you've studied, you'd get a good grade, then you have a good grade. It's based on merit. Not every country was like that. I think it wasn't in Pastor Marybeth, wasn't in Russia during the communist period. Didn't when they would be in university, one student would take the test for everybody. In the very beginning, one student would take the test, and you just hope that student was a smart one that was taking the test, because you all got whatever grade that student got. You know, they took personal property away, and they collectivized it, and they made it so that nobody owned their own field. You all worked together. And you know, I don't know if you remember back in the 60s and 70s and 80s how the grain harvests of Russia were declining every year. We were shipping grain to them to keep the nation alive because it just doesn't work. In China, the same thing happened when the Cultural Revolution took place. They killed all the people of culture. That was the Cultural Revolution. And they forced people, if you had a home, like if you had a house, most of you live in a house, you were no longer allowed to live there by yourself. The communist government put people in your home, and they didn't pay you rent. They paid, if they paid anything, they paid it to the communists. But they forced people, and they put, I love this, they put loudspeakers on the walls of your home so that they would dictate and broadcast communist propaganda. You could not turn that down. If you turned it down or took the speaker down, punishable by death. So we're in a country, we live in a country, we've been raised in a merit system, which is, I believe, a good system. You're rewarded for what you do. However, it's not that way in the spirit. It is and it isn't. The majority of Americans today believe that a good person, if I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven. The majority of Americans don't go to church, but believe they're going to heaven. And the way they justify that is by, I'm a good person. Well, that means to be a good person, what do? To be a good person, you do good things. And that would be a meritocracy. That would be by merit. So because you're a good person, you do good things for people, you're going to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't want us not to be good people, but it says something completely different. Now, there are many people that are trying to make their way to heaven by doing humanitarian things, humanitarian organizations, and we thank God for all secular humanitarian organizations as well as Christian ones. And they will practice acts of kindness. People will try to be kind. There's a billboard here in the community that says, be kind today and tomorrow. It's a law firm. And so people think that by doing that, they're going to get to heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. We need to be kind. We need to be good people. But religious systems that are set up by works exist. There are so many religious organizations that it's by works that they're teaching you to go to heaven. By works meaning come to church. You know, you got to come to church. I mean, I would love if that were the case, that if you don't come here to hear me preach, then you're not going to go to heaven. But this just doesn't work that way. And there are religious systems, even Pentecostal systems, I mean, you would know Pentecostal systems that are, their hierarchy is based on merit. You know, you rise up in the organization based on merit. And yet, the Word of God doesn't say that. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at this. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. The first thing I want to just mention on the way is that Jesus made us alive with resurrection life. We no longer are just alive with natural life. We have something that is independent of nature, independent of biology, chemistry, physiology, independent of all science as we know it. Otherwise, a dead body could not come to life, blind eyes could not see, lame people could not walk, and people could not be healed, and we could not have a complete and total inner transformation when we get born again. But we are no longer under the law of sin and death. Because the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us and makes us alive with resurrection life, absolute life, independent of nature. So the Lord says that along with being made alive, it's by grace. By grace are you saved. Now everybody knows the standard definition of grace. What's the standard definition of grace?
Unmerited favor.
That's where merit system comes in. I find that a little, I don't understand that so much. I've heard it all my life, all my saved life, unmerited favor. But I like to think of it, favor without a price. That puts it more into perspective for you. Favor without a price. In other words, I don't pay a price. Jesus paid the price. So I have favor without a price. I don't pay for that favor. I can't earn that favor. I can't be good enough for that favor. No matter how many good things I do, I'm not going to get more favor. Favor is something that God gives to us. It's called grace. Now, grace, the way I understand, for by grace are you saved, and that through faith, grace didn't get us saved. Grace brings us to the place we're saved. And then we have to do something, and that's where our faith comes in. You see, unless a man is born again, they're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. We know that. And the Apostle Paul says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is alive, raised from the dead, and say that out loud with your voice, with your mouth, then you're saved. So that's what we do. We do that by faith. That's when we express our faith, because believing in the heart and saying with the mouth is the standard of faith. But how many of us experience opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be saved? People came up and shared their faith. People came up and told you about Jesus. People came up, or you went to a church and you heard a good message and there was an altar call. That's grace. The fact that God puts us into circumstances and situations, brings people across our path, I believe that's an expression of grace. So by grace, he sets us up. By faith, we're saved. But that's not really what I'm talking about today. That was just a little bonus for you. And that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works. There it is. It's not by works. Now, of in the Greek is by. Not by works. We can't earn heaven. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't work our way to salvation. We can't do anything at all that brings about our salvation other than put our faith in Christ. That's the only thing. We put our faith in Jesus when we confess Christ. But look at this. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible actually says that we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. We are saved for works. We are born again for works. Now, he also says he prepared those works ahead of time. So the works that we're to do have already been ordained and prepared. But now's the question. What are those works? Question one. What are those works? Question two. Are we doing them? If we have been saved for works, are we doing the works? Do any of us feel like we're doing the works? We're not saved to come to church, but please come to church. We're not saved to feel good about ourselves. We're not saved for any of the, we're saved for works, according to Ephesians. So are we doing the works? And if we are not, shouldn't we be? Should we be? All right, let's look at that. James chapter 2. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to investigate this a little bit. James chapter 2, because when we leave today, I want everybody to be doing the works. James 2. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, but I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So we have a clue. The works of God are going to be faith works. So yes, we need people to, like people, ladies have been blessing us online. You may not know, but ladies have been blessing us every week with a breakfast assortment here at the church. We have coffee, we have breakfast things. And so that's a good work, but that's not by faith. That's a natural work. There are people who come in and sanitize the church. Every Saturday, the church gets sanitized. It's been going on for 2 years. That's a wonderful work. That's not a faith work. That's a natural work. So there are natural things that we do for the church, for the people of God, for the kingdom of God, but those are ancillary. Those are along with what the main works are. And according to this, the main works are by faith. So that means the main works are not works that we can do with our own strength, with our own understanding, with our own nature. The main works that we're to be doing are things that we've got to stretch beyond ourselves. Remember when we're told that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, and the heart hasn't received the great and wonderful things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him? So that we see those prepared things, but they are communicated by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit. So for us to grab a hold of the works, it's going to be a spiritual revelation. Now, a spiritual revelation doesn't mean that you need to be all by yourself in your prayer closet praying for several hours and suddenly there's a lightning strike and the light goes on and you get the revelation. It can be right here. You can receive a revelation as I'm speaking the word of God. The Spirit of God can quicken something to you. It can be while you're driving your car and the Spirit of God begins to speak to you. You may be listening to a radio program, a Christian radio program, and suddenly the Lord takes something that's said there but quickens it to you in a revelation. It can be when you're praying, of course, and the Spirit of God quickens something to you. It can be reading the Word of God, and some verse jumps off the page, and the Spirit of God says, you can do that, you're called to do that. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works. Because we have faith, we're expected to have works that he has prepared. Not normal, everyday, natural works, but something in the supernatural realm. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So the Word of God tells us that these works are going to be something beyond. Now let's just think of some of the things that the Lord told us to do. One of the things he said is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. When the Spirit of God came in Acts chapter 2, remember what the Lord said in Acts chapter 1. But you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So the number one thing that we should be doing is communicating the gospel, but not just in a natural way. Most of the time when we read that verse, go ye into all the world, we say, thank you, Lord, for our missionaries. Right? My mind goes immediately to missions. But that's not the case, because the Lord qualified that by saying Jerusalem. Not that we have to just center on Israel. This, where we live, is our Jerusalem. Where you live is your Jerusalem. That's where we start. It is the number one will of God, the number one work of God, that we effectively communicate the gospel. Now, when we effectively communicate the gospel, we're not communicating a boring church service. We are communicating the reality of the living, risen Messiah in our lives, life-changing, life-altering, the transformational power of God through resurrection. There is nothing about the gospel that is natural, normal, or religious. Everything about the gospel is supernatural. We have a supernatural relationship with a supernatural God who defies death, hell, and the grave. This is what we need to communicate, that in him, all things are possible. In him, all things are possible. That's the gospel. The gospel is not natural, it's not normal, it's not made up, and it's not religion. The gospel is a relationship with the living God, the creator of all things, who empowers us to do his will supernaturally. That means signs and wonders. What did Jesus say? In my name, you shall. Well, that sounds like some works, doesn't it? In my name, you shall. We shall what? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, yeah, well, our church does that all the time. We have a healing line and the pastor lays hands on the sick. He didn't say pastors. He said, you that believe. You that believe. All of us. Yes, your pastor lays hands on the sick and yes, people recover. But all of us, this is a work. This is not a natural work. This is a supernatural work. This is not our healing. We don't have to have a healing ministry. This is simply obeying the word of God and doing the work of the gospel. And they shall recover. This is a work. We have two works already. Two works already that all of us should be doing on a regular basis. Two works. Bringing the gospel to people. You might say, well, who do I bring the gospel? Everybody. Everybody. I'm sure we all know people who go to church but are not saved. I'm sure we all know people who are in church on a regular basis, they don't know Jesus. I was like that for most of my life. I mean, my old life. I think I've been saved for more than I was unsaved at this point. Yeah, definitely. But you all know people like that. You all know people that we work with that maybe they're not church. And especially you young people. I'm sure that the majority of the people that you know outside of a church are out there. They're just out there because there's so many crazy things that are in the world today, and people don't any longer, young people no longer have a biblical worldview or a biblical basis of morality. And it's up to us to bring it to them, but not beat them over the head with it, you know, just to bring it to them in a loving way. To show Christ, not just tell Christ, but show Christ. To let the Lord live and speak through us and touch through us. Remember, Jesus, well, here's a real quick, and I've been quoting this a lot. It's been on my heart so much for the last, you know, several weeks. But here is the works of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing, so you know he's doing works, doing good and healing all that were sick or oppressed of the devil. So we have doing works. What kind of works? Good works. Good works. Works that bless. Works that edify. Works that encourage. And a lot of times when witnessing is done, it's in a discouraging way. We are to witness in an encouraging way. Giving people hope. Not leaving them hopeless. Giving them hope for their future. Hope that they need to take a step. Not hope in and of themselves in the way they are. No, that's, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. No. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Clear, simple, plain, indisputable. So we give them hope. How to see the kingdom of heaven. How to accept the Lord. And he said, you shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You shall cast out devils. Now, in that area, we have it either on one extreme where people see devils under every rock and every person that comes for prayer, they got a devil. Or the other extreme where people don't even believe in devils. Don't believe in the devil himself, demons, or any of that stuff. And we need to find the place in the middle because Jesus spoke to demons. If he spoke to demons, he was not delusional. If we don't believe they're demons, we cannot be born again, believe God's word, and not believe in demons, because that would mean we believe Jesus was delusional because he didn't really speak to demons. And we see him speak to, command them, and they obey him. We see him tempted of the devil himself. So either Jesus was schizophrenic or it really happened. And I don't believe he had any mental issues, delusional or schizophrenia. I believe he encountered the supernatural of the enemy, of the underworld, and he won. He rose with the keys of hell and of death, and he's given us the key and said, I want you in my name to cast out devils. I want you in my name to overpower the evil one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is having his lunch every day with the people around us, and it's up to us. We are in, now let me back up, sorry. Preordained, right? What God has already planned for us. He has already, That was there. I'm going to go back to Ephesians. You don't need to turn to Ephesians, but I'm going to reference that for one moment here, how he put it. He said, unto good works which the Lord has before ordained. So he's already prepared the good works. So that means that if we are in association with people, the Lord has made it so that we would be among those people, so that we would minister to those people. He has preordained it. He has made it so that prepared the works for us. It's up to us to do them. And that's where faith comes in. Because what first comes into our heart? Oh, you can't do that. Yeah, that's, you hear about it, you know, pastor preaches about it, and it's in the Word of God, but that's not for you. You don't know enough. Maybe after you've studied or meditated or prayed enough, but you're never going to find the time to study and meditate and pray enough. It's just something to keep you in that state where you don't do the works. Sooner or later, we've got to come to the understanding that God's Word is true, and that Jesus says what he means. And if he tells us, all of us, that if we believe, we shall, then we should. We should step out in faith. That is like Peter stepping out of the boat. We need to get out of the boat of comfort, out of the boat of whatever you want to call it, whatever words you want to put in there, and risk something for Jesus. Step out and be a doer. Step out and be a doer of the Word of God. So you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. I think we got that one covered, pretty much. I mean, hopefully everybody has that one covered. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying out in other tongues. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we certainly have noticed that, you know, once we turned the year, I said, okay, now in our midweek service, we're going to take 15 minutes on Thursday and pray in the Holy Spirit. And we have been seeing so many miracles taking place and so much answered prayer since we started that. It has been tremendous blessing to us and an encouragement for us. And we've also encouraged everybody to be taking 30 minutes each day praying in the Holy Spirit. 30 minutes each day in your personal lives. And all the testimonies that are coming in, we are constantly receiving testimonies coming in. And it has to do with the Spirit of God praying through us according to the perfect will of God. That's being a doer. All right, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go there with me. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we got that covered, right? He is the foundation of our faith. He is the foundation of what we say and what we do, what we believe. He is our foundation. Now, keep in mind, if you lay a foundation for a one-story building, you cannot build a three-story building on that foundation. The foundation determines the height, the width, the length of a building. The foundation determines what the building's going to be, the shape of it. You cannot change it once you lay the foundation. So, what foundation have we laid with Jesus? Is Jesus a religious figure to us who was a wonderful person and who died for us? Or is Jesus relevant today in our lives? Is Jesus with us today, encouraging and strengthening us? Do we serve a small God who stays in the Bible? You know, we don't have a temple anymore, so he's there. He lives there in the Bible. Or do we serve a big God who's in the temple of the Holy Spirit in each one of us? Do we serve a God who's not able to do the miracles that he said in the Word of God? Or do we serve a God that's able to do all things through Jesus? I mean, we're able to do all things through Jesus Christ, but with God, all things are possible. So it's up to us what foundation we lay. And the size of the thing, you know, let me tell you a real quick story from the Philippines. Because the Lord told me a few days ago, he wanted me to share some stuff from the Philippines. And I'm sitting thinking, well, I don't have anything. What do I want to share? Because I share about India all the time. I share about Italy. But there's something about the Philippines. And it just dropped in right now. And it was faith. It's about faith. We were working with two pastors on two different sides of the island of Leyte. And we were building churches. We were preaching by day. Preaching by night and building physical churches by day. On one side of the island, it was pretty easy. It was a rice paddy that was dry and pretty solid, so we were able to, the building went up really quickly. The other side of the island, we had an earthquake in the middle. The walls, you know, okay, but it stood up. And the other side of the island was more of a swampy area, and it was agonizingly slow to dig the foundation. I mean, the one side of the island, the walls were already up. The other side, the foundation still hadn't been completely dug yet. It was just, they called it gumbo. It was just hard to dig, very hard. Anyway, I would go, and Pastor Mary Beth and I would go and visit both sides of the island, and we'd have to cross a mountain to get there and go to the other side. Well, anyway, I come to the other side of the island, and I'm thinking the foundations are going to be laid now. And the pastor, Pastor Joe, Filipino pastor, he comes running up to greet the Jeep, and he says, "Pastor Frank, Pastor Frank, a great miracle has happened, a great miracle." Well, praise the Lord, I got excited. And he says, "Come, I show you." And he takes me out to the foundations. "The foundations are finished." I said, "Praise the Lord, that is a miracle." He said, No. "We dug them in the wrong place. We dug half the foundation on someone else's property." I said, "Joe, we've been digging this foundation for a couple of weeks now, and you're telling me it's on the wrong place?" He says, Yes. I said, "But what's the miracle?" He says, "The miracle is we haven't poured the concrete yet." Now that's a person of faith. That is a person of faith and overwhelming joy. Because about that time, I wanted to put my hands around his neck and send him off to see Jesus. But I restrained myself.
Did you ever consider things were going fine on my side of the island?
Yes, we know. Rice patty. And so, anyway, a miracle did take place. And I stayed over there for a while. And everybody was so depressed and dejected when they found out. But we motivated them. We actually, in a day or so, got the rest of the foundation dug in the right place and poured the concrete. So praise the Lord. That turned out well. And but that's an example of people. We were doing physical work, the work, but at night preaching and bringing people and growing the church at night, building the physical church by day, building the spiritual church by night. And that's the way we labor, like Nehemiah, with one hand with a sword and the other hand with a building tool. So we want to build the church with the sword and with the building tool. Now here, back to here in 1 Corinthians. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." That's a pretty big range. I mean, you go from gold to stubble. That's a big range of building materials. You know, in Jerusalem, limestone is readily available. And so the temple was built out of limestone, gigantic blocks. Some of them weighed 40 tons. I think 40 tons is probably the average. 40 tons. That's 40 times 2,000. And some stones were even bigger. And it was all easily material. And it was tremendous building, a tremendous, it was probably one of the greatest building projects of the ancient world. We tend to think of the Acropolis and Athens and the Parthenon and all of that. This was bigger and this was greater. The only reason we don't consider is because it was all destroyed by the Romans, totally destroyed. We don't have it remaining to inspire awe. But something about limestone, the Romans knew it. All you have to do is build fires hot enough and limestone explodes. Limestone burns. It's a rock, but it explodes and burns. So when they torched the city of Jerusalem, it was exploding. The walls, literally walls, were exploding. It would have been horrible for the Jewish people and quite entertaining for the Romans to see everything exploding in the city. And that's why so little remains.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.